I'm Sandra Barnett, and this is a workshop on facing trials and tests. And so we're going to repeat this verse together several times during our time together because I want it to sink into us, and perhaps you'll have an opportunity to memorize it. So let's read it together. He does not fear bad news nor live in dread of what may happen, but is fully settled in his mind that Jehovah will take care of him. And as I said, I don't want this to be a workshop to instill any more fear of the future in us than we already have, but we're going to look at a bunch of scripture today. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder if you have ever had many things in your life that have just kind of knocked you for a loop emotionally when something has happened, perhaps physically or whatever, where it's just kind of taken you aback and you didn't know if this was going to be temporary or permanent. Have any of you had stuff like that happen in your life where you've just kind of the bottom's fallen out seemingly and you just think, oh, wow, can I handle this? Well, I've had breast biopsies and several of them, and always that news is kind of like, you know, it takes you aback when they say, Mrs. Barnett, would you please come back to X-ray again? And we need to check something. And the very first time that happened was in the early, about 84 probably. And it was the first time I really experienced the power of God's word just completely overtaking me and giving me peace. And that's why this verse means so much to me, even though it's out of the Living Bible and a translation. But just the only thing I could think of at that moment when I was sitting there in the doctor's office and I just started quivering and I started thinking, okay. And so I started reviewing scripture. And it was amazing to me. Isn't it interesting when we ask God to do something and we know the power of his word and he does it and we're just going, wow. I mean, you think, I'm dumb, you know. But one of the desires that I have for the rest of my life would be that I might not dishonor the Lord in my life in whatever he allows in my life. And I think there, you know, sometimes we have a fear. I remember asking Max years ago, you know, or telling him and then asking, you know, I don't know, if somebody was pulling my fingernails off or poking my eyes out to make me deny the Lord, would I do that? He said, honey, God only gives dying grace when you're dying. And since I wasn't dying, I couldn't. But, you know, just that fear of, Lord, I don't want to deny you, but, you know, would I? And you've heard this old saying, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And so bad things do happen to good people at times. But we want to pre-program ourselves to make the default setting in our lives to be, we turn to God. We turn to his word. When bad things happen, we turn to him. And he is our resource. He's our strength. He's our comfort. His presence, and we want his presence and his promises to flood back into our hearts and minds as we face some tough stuff in life. And so we look at the scripture, and we get words of warning, and yet there's encouragement. And I'm put all the scriptures today on the PowerPoint, so we don't have to look them up. And he says in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world." So we have the warning, this is going to happen. But we have the encouragement. So the big question is, will we be overcomers or will we be overcome? And we don't want to, we hopefully will not be overcome. Now, I'd like for some of you, if you've had some situations that you could share with us where you have sensed, just very briefly, the Lord being allowing you to be an overcomer in a tough situation. This is a workshop, and you're supposed to interact with me. So go for it. Anybody got? I'll repeat your statement for this machine here.
I remember when I had a mastectomy in 1981, the night before, the preacher, music director, we met, we were good friends with him, and they came in and prayed for me. And the nurse came in to take my blood pressure. And she said, "This can't be right, it's normal." I said, "Do it again." And she did it, and it was normal. And I said, "This is going to be all right, I know. Because the Lord promised to take care of me." And it was. I didn't even have to take the chemo. Nothing.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Anybody else? Quick testimony.
Okay. Oh, when I was driving back to another state, to Mississippi, my father was dying, and we knew it, and we were driving in the middle of the night. There was a great peace there as I drove, and what the Lord brought back to my mind as I drove were hymns that I continued to sing. That night, John woke up, he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm singing. It helps keep me awake and it keeps my mind going, mind off things." But the peace that he brought,
that's right,
through that. And we actually, our minister prayed for us before we left, and it actually made better time than we had ever made. And we didn't speak, but God took us through.
Thank you.
Our youngest son died in 1990, and when he died, I couldn't imagine when I would ever have peace and joy again in my life. But I kept praying for 3 months that God would let me have my joy back. That's the way That's the way I put it. And it was one day short of 3 months that God answered that prayer. And the way he did it was he brought a verse to my mind, and it was Isaiah 58. The verses. 55:18.
Just quote the verse.
Yeah,
that's okay.
he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are your thoughts." And I remember when God brought that to my mind, I know right where I was sitting in the living room. And I just thought about that, and I looked up and I said, "Okay, Lord, it's going to be okay. Thank you." But I just remember the peace that came from just his word, and it was so direct. And I hadn't even memorized that verse. I recognized it when I saw it, but I had never thought about it before.
Well, there's nothing like the peace of God, is there, that passes all understanding. And when you're in a situation like that, you recognize it and you think, "Wow, God, thank you, thank you, thank you." Because we know in our humanity, we just fall apart. If we leave it to our own humanity, we can't handle it. Okay, 1 John 4:4. We're going to look at, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he who is in the world. Okay, and our next verse I wanted us to look at. This is an Amplified Bible, and you may not can even find them now, but it's pretty wordy, but it's very expressive. It says, "He, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." Now, anybody else think of some more verses that come along in your mind? I didn't pick them all. I didn't get them all. So if you can think of something really quick, that another verse that comes to mind that's meant something to you, that has to do with the fact that... Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hosea 34:10, "For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you.
Okay.
And the covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on me."
Great. Great. And the reference again?
It's Isaiah
54:10. Add that to your arsenal of verses, because this is what we need when to fill our hearts and minds with as we think about things. When I was thinking about this workshop, I was kind of thinking, just the temporary things that come along, you know, just like, by the way, the biopsies were fine. I was thinking about, well, you know, just the temporary things, they come and they go in your life and then you're expecting them to be over with, and they are. But then I got to thinking, you know, there are some big things that scare us to death. And just the words, when we stop and think, what are some of the words of that hit us today? I mean, I'll start you off and you help me and I'll repeat them, but cancer, the very first thing. What else?
Drugs.
What else?
TV.
Okay, I'm thinking, okay, let me redirect us into thinking of these, like Alzheimer's, terminal illness. I'm thinking of these things that just scare us when we hear them. Barrenness, mental handicaps, handicapped children. When we think about some of these words, divorce, and we think the consequences of all these things that can take place in our life, and it can be scary. Now, as I've aged and I wait, and you wake up in the morning, you know, when I was, before I was 60, you always kind of had this hope of, well, I've got this pain, but I'll get well. But then after kind of you pass 60 and you start thinking, you know, the Lord's going to take me out some way and this could be it. Who knows? And so there can come a new fear, a new dread in your life as you get older. I remember my dad used to say when he turned 70, he said, well, my warranty's worn out. And I thought, well, what's that? Well, you know, the Bible talks about us having 70 and 10 years. And so my warranty ran out August 7th. And so, so we're living on borrowed time, and we'll just try to honor God for the rest of it. Another one of those scary words to us as women is rape. Paraplegic, we think of that word. All of these things make us cringe emotionally. And you know, all of us have known people who are going through or have gone through some pretty horrible stuff. You may know somebody right now that's having you think, oh man, I hope that never happens to me, because you just think, wow. So before we go any further, I want us to repeat our verse because it gets kind of scary. Okay, he does not fear bad news nor live in dread of what may happen, but he is fully satisfied in his heart. God will take care of him. Okay. Now, each of us as women find ourselves in one of three positions. We're either married, single, or widows. And motherhood can be intertwined with any of those relationships. And how we handle the stuff of life makes a big, big difference. How dependent we are on God's word, how directly dependent, or how little we look to the word of God for our direction in life will make a big difference as far as the tough stuff when it comes along. Now, we can end up being very bitter, complaining women, and a lot of women do end up that way. But we prefer that we would be peace-filled, victorious women of God. That's what we want. And the way we can assure ourselves of that is by hiding God's word in our heart, responding to the truth of the word of God. Now, when something comes along, what's the question people ask? Why? Why? And then the next question, well, why me? Another thought might be, as a Christian, why not me? Why not me? And you know, sometimes, a lot of times what happens is when something tough comes, we kind of do things backwards. We look at the circumstances and we panic and we run to our friends to talk to them about it. And then we settle down to pray. And then we go to the Word of God to try to get an understanding. So what we want to do is to program our default mode where we'll go to the Word first with prayer and then consult friends. Not that friends aren't comfort, but that we really need to get our order there. that we go to God's Word. Now, first, I want to look at James 1. Now, this is another paraphrase. Well, I guess it's from the Phillips translation. And perhaps you're familiar with this. Very expressive. When all kinds of trials and tribulations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become, women, men, of mature character with the right sort of independence. Now, left to ourselves, we develop the wrong kind of independence. And so we need to learn what the right sort is. But now, let's look at this. All kinds, and sometimes of trials and tribulations, and sometimes they do seem to crowd into our lives, don't they? All of a sudden, you just got several things on your plate. And it says, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. In the NAS and the King James, I think it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. And then it goes on to express the rest of the verse. And someone once described, he said, you just throw a party. I mean, when something comes along like that, just invite your friends and have a party. And to thank God for what he's allowing in your life. And so it's not if they're going to come, but when they come. And they're going to seem to be various. They can be large or they can be small trials. Now, when I have stuff come into my life, I try to remind myself, and it takes effort, but this is a test, Lord. This is just a test, and I don't want to flunk it. I want to pass this test. And my response reveals a lot about where I am with the Lord in my fellowship with him, whether I'm going to blame him and get bitter or whether I'm going to praise him and thank him. And I was just thinking, when you prepare a message or when you do something like this, Satan can have a heyday with you. And so he's gotten me ready already on this subject because I've had a little flare up. And so I'm going to have my mother died of one of her cancers was colon cancer. So I am due for another colonoscopy coming up October 16th. So if you are on that day and you think about it or before, I'd appreciate your prayers. But always something to keep you praying. Okay, Philippians 1:29. Another verse, a warning, but also an encouragement. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, here's what I wanted to do with the why. Let me, just some whys here. Did I put these on here? Yeah, okay. The purpose of the trials and the test, that we might display the presence of God and his sufficiency and ultimately the gospel to a lost world. And that's where I'd put Philippians 1:29. That he wants to show himself through our suffering. When a person has a huge problem, which no man can solve, he faces an opportunity to find out how great God is and how much he loves that one individual. And I've added another verse here, 1 Peter 5:7. And most of us are familiar with this. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, something that helps me here is to visualize the problem in my hand, lifting it up to God. When you're hit with something emotionally like this, that is a big problem that you can't see, there's an end to. I need something emotionally to help me to feel like I've given it to God. And so I just lift it up in prayer. Okay, now another reason for the why is that to produce the character quality of endurance and the right sort of independence. And then living in a sin-filled world with pain and bad stuff keeps us reminded that we're just passing through this earth. You know, if this was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience, we sure tend to put our roots down, don't we? And sometimes we act like we're going to live here forever, but we're not. So this keeps us reminded, hey, there comes a point where I'm ready. I'm ready. Most of us aren't fearful of dying. We just don't want the process, the pre-process. That's what scares us. On occasion, for his great and glorious purpose, he lets wicked people harm one of his children. An example, a biblical example of that is the story of Joseph. When he was mistreated by his brothers in prison and everything he went through. And, you know, that's one of those questions, because the thing that runs through our minds is women, rape. And you'll hear stories of some women that have said in the midst of the danger, Lord, deliver me, called on the name of the Lord Jesus, and he saved them. And then there are others that have not been. And the big question is, Lord, why? But sometimes God will allow. We live in this sin-filled world. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to call on his name and then trust him. Okay, Romans 8, which we're all familiar with, 28 and 29. One of the reasons why God allows this in our lives is he wants to conform us to the image of his Son. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. So God's working in our lives in ways sometimes we don't understand or don't know. I think probably you've heard the story of the silversmith. You can add this verse to your references there. Of the silversmith and how he puts the metal under tremendous heat and stirs it, but he keeps an eye on it. He has to perfect it. And we see this idea. I want us to read this one. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Now, that's going to be a choice, because that's going to be tough. To exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given us. Okay, I wanted us to see this one in Jeremiah 6:27. I have made you an assayer and a tester, Jeremiah saying, among my people, that you may know and assay their ways. Now, those are the terms used by the silversmith to perfect. And he's, you know, the silversmith is looking to, the dross is going to rise to the surface so that it can be the pure gold or silver, the pure metal. Now, he's not trying to destroy us, but to refine us. But sometimes it's going to feel like you're in the fire. And we need to be careful about hanging on to our dross. Sometimes we don't want that pain. We don't want to see the sin that comes to the surface. But the Lord says, or Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And surely in a time when we're going through some tough stuff, it's a time of weakness. And of course, Paul went on to say, most gladly would he rather therefore boast about the weakness, that the power of Christ could be made dwell in him. And you know, one thing too, nobody knows what you trust in until it's really tested. This is 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. And it says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary. Isn't that something? If necessary. And I think, ooh. You have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. And as I said, we've got a choice. It's a hard choice at times because it's going completely opposite to our emotions. Okay? C.S. Lewis said, pain is God's megaphone. And sometimes we get to the point we need to hear God, and he gets our attention through the pain. Let's see how to face this, or how to be prepared for this. Memorizing scripture, as I've said, reminds me of the truth of pain and suffering. And I don't know about you, but when I'm sitting in a doctor's office or I've just heard a report, I don't have my Bible open, and I'm not focused on necessarily the Word of God and the truth. But when we hide God's Word in our heart, he can bring that right immediately. And I assure you, those verses will come, if you have them in your heart, at those times when you really need them. This was something that it was Dave Dawson. Some of you know the name because he was with the NAVS at one time. I think he composed this. I called Jerry White the other night because I couldn't find it. And I knew that it had been years ago. It was very popular and people had it hanging on their walls. Do you remember it, Bonnie? I don't know. It looked like a piece of parchment. But let's look at that. I printed that out for you so you can take it home with you. But it says, the Lord may not have planned that this should overtake me, but he has most certainly permitted it. Therefore, though it were an attack of an enemy, by the time it reaches me, it has the Lord's permission, and therefore all is well. He will make it work together with all life experiences for good. Then we need to develop a confidence based on God's word. And this is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And then another way we prepare ourselves says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, in James 4:8. And then we need a determined plan of action. What are we going to do? Now change this. Let's see. Yeah, no, this is Psalms 56:3-4. Is that right? It's probably wrong on your... So change that to Psalm. I believe that's Psalm 56:3-4 rather than Psalm 63. I need to determine that God's in control and he has my best interest at heart. And so here's a verse that we can come back to rely upon when we're in a time of need there. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in thee. In God, whose word I praise, in God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? So what you're doing with your memorized scripture, you're preaching to your heart with the word of God. You're listening to God as he expresses, and to the psalmist as he expressed, I'm not going to be afraid. What can mere man do to me? I don't know about you, but we've got good forgetters, and they work overtime sometime, especially when we're in an emotional situation and things are tough. And then be honest with God. You may want to say, God, I hate this. I don't want to go through this, but Lord, I submit. I'm the servant. You're not my servant. I'm the servant. And I will choose to submit to whatever you allow. And you know that not my will, but yours. And then bring God into the negative there with praise. 1 Thessalonians, change this too. It's 5:16-18. Always some typos. Rejoice always. pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything. Doesn't say for everything, does it? A lot of people get hung up on that. For everything, give thanks. No, in everything. In every situation, give thanks. Rejoice always. And you know that rejoicing. It's not the, you know, it's that deep inner sensitivity and consciousness that God is in control. That this, because of Him, I can handle this. But only because of Him. And then Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which we're so familiar with. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And you know, when I said before that don't run to your friends first, our hearts ought to turn first to the Word of God. That doesn't mean you don't go to your friends, because we need people to pray for us. We need people to gather around us to support us and to lift us up to the throne of grace when we're in that time of need. So one of the translations says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Somebody remember which translation that is? Is it the Living? It may be. I think a lot of people are not familiar with the Living anymore. It was real popular at one time, and we used it so much, and then we passed on to more accurate translations. But it says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Okay. Now, I put something down here. This went faster than I thought it would, but we'll talk about it a little bit here in a minute. At the very bottom, the very last page, I want to tell you about a situation. There is a young man. I say young man. He's probably in his early 50s, would you say? Is anybody that knows David? Probably early 50s. Anyway, he recently went to work for the Navigators as a counselor in Colorado Springs. And he'd only been in the Springs for several months, probably two or three, and was on a bicycle going home and had an accident. He hit another cyclist, I believe, and ended up hitting his head on a rock, being catapulted and hitting his head on a big rock and splitting his cyclist helmet. And some nurse came along, by the way, and was able to, knew not to move his neck, and assisted him. And so he was in the hospital, and it looked like he was going to end up a paraplegic, because he had no movement, and I mean, at all that I know of to start with. And then, but he has progressed. People have prayed, and there's been progression in his recovery. And so a lady from our church that does, she sent this email the other day, and I thought, you know, this was very, very fitting for us today to look at her insights. I called her last night and said, do you mind if I use your email? Because I just want to read it to you here. I do not know David Brown, but have been quickly drawn to them, the wife and daughter, from reading these daily, sometimes hourly, upgrades. What strikes me tonight is the clear desire to be the clay and to resist the great temptation to try to tell the potter his business. There is an acknowledgement that God is taking us down this long, slow, deep road of change that should last a lifetime. There's a lot to learn, and we want the lessons to go so deep they can never be forgotten. As a dear friend going through a difficult time once said, Lord, I pray that none of this suffering will be wasted. It also strikes me once again that life can truly be changed, and we can be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's what the scripture says about Christ's return, when we'll all be changed. I believe that change will be so immediate because we will truly see the eternal and all things temporal will be gone. All of our selfishness and pride will plummet into nothingness as we stand before God with nothing to clothe us except the righteousness of Christ. We will not have any shred of self-righteousness. Reading about this dreadful accident is tempered only by the fact that David is truly seeing life from the perspective of one who is changed and knows that apart from him, I can do nothing. And as we all know, life can change in a moment. You can be married one moment, a widow the next. And so we need to be forewarned, forearmed for whatever we face. We just don't know. We're human. We will. You know, I know it'll be tough. You'll crater probably for the first moment, but then we need to be like a compass that comes back, points back to north after our world is shaken. And to determine in our hearts and minds, Lord, as much as I dread this, and I don't want to dread it because you said it's good for me, and that you'll not let anything come into my life but that is for my best. And it's a predetermined set of thinking that, Lord, I don't want to dishonor you. I want to honor you. I don't want to miss out on anything you have for me in this life. So I would like to just take a moment of just silent prayer, you praying for yourself. But first of all, let's do it again. He does not fear bad news or dread of what may happen, but is fully settled in his mind that Jehovah will take care of him. With the what if game, be careful playing the what if. Well, what if my husband dies tomorrow? What if my children don't make it home tonight? We can't do that. Fear can eat us alive. And in Sally's workshop a little earlier, I thought that was great because she said, you know, fear not is one of the most is the most oft repeated phrases in the scripture. And the second phrase was, I will be with you. So whatever the Lord allows in our life, we know because of 1 Corinthians 10:13, he's not going to let anything happen that he gives a way of escape. And you know, he's our way of escape, isn't he? But that he's not going to let anything overpower us or overtake us, but that he's going to give us that way of escape if we'll look for it. Now, before we go any further, I'd like to hear some response from you. By the way, Sally, I liked your statement, rest in peace by faith, R.I.P., that we see on tombstones, but just rest in God's peace. That's what we want. And there may be a time when I'm going through something, I may need you to come see me and remind me. Say, hey, you remember that thing you talked about, that message? We need each other. Two are better than one. We need to be reminded, people to come around and encourage. But God's grace is sufficient, and we want to prove that. But anybody got any thoughts that you'd like to share about people you know that you've seen go through some tough stuff? Maybe we would want to even take some time, if you have some people, to pray for some people that you know are going through rough times right now, that you think, wow, how did they do it? Anybody want to share? Go ahead, Bonnie.
I think that the verse on Thanksgiving probably needs to come first.
Okay.
And you don't have a thankful heart or an immediate response of Thanksgiving unless you've practiced along the way. And when we first moved to Oklahoma, I was very ill-practiced with a thankful heart. And the Lord arranged for some things to happen in our family. The first one was that we had lice. My daughter got lice when she was in second grade. And I treated her for lice from December to June. And I washed all the sheets, everything, the clothes. And we couldn't get rid of them, and I was complaining about it. I was on the phone, and the Lord said to me, "Bonnie, have you thanked me for the lice yet?" And I thought about Corrie Ten Boom and her sister. So I went in the bedroom and knelt down and thanked him for the lice. And then we had termites in our house, in every wall. And we had to have a truck load dumped in our house. And then we had fleas. See, and the Lord had to start with me that way so that I could learn to respond that way, because then the bigger things that happened, when Jack had TB and almost died, I could go to him more readily and thank him and turn it into praise. But he had to start little with me, you know. And so I'm thankful, because it was preparation for
that's good.
The recent
Okay.
And also, to be so convinced of God's sovereignty, you know, that He is sovereign in every way, in every event, that we can trust completely, that He means well in all of it.
Yes.
You know, it's that sovereignty goes back to absolute trust.
Okay. I want you to come see me when I'm going through it, okay? Boy, what a great word. What a great word to us all. And that's true. Anybody else?
My daughter, who's going through some rebellion now, and it's been tough. But we still have communication, and we're on good terms. But recently, I went through a Bible study, a Beth Moore Bible study, and she said something one day when we were looking at the passage in Isaiah about waiting on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord. And she said, if you're waiting on an event to happen, like, you know, I'm waiting for my child to come back, you know, you're waiting on the wrong thing. You need to be waiting on the Lord. You need to trust Him.
That's great.
So that has helped me a lot.
Yay. I hope some of you are taking notes to pray for each other as you hear some of these things. Remember to pray. Anybody else? Go on.
One of the things that God has had me learn recently and also sometime in the past is to focus on His character. Because if I don't, then I can't believe that anything is good. But if I do remember His goodness, then I can respond with saying, God is righteous and God is good, instead of just saying, why has He abandoned me? Or something like that.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Anybody else? I knew going into this that there would be some in here that have gone through a lot harder things than others and know by experience the sufficiency of the Lord. I know with Jim White, probably was last year, Jerry. Wasn't it last year? Basically, they were not here because he was at the point of death, and to us, he's a walking miracle today to see him.
thanks to Jerry's prayers, and but we know that their tough times will come, and now we focused on some of the reasons why the Lord allows them, and our prayer is just that we would be armed with His Word and with His truth when the time comes, but some good pre-practices that the Lord, He doesn't waste any of our experiences, does He? Well, Jerry?
Why wasn't I healed? And why wasn't my child? Why did this happen to my child? It didn't happen to theirs. And things like that. But all of us need to do this just to remind ourselves that God has a plan for our lives and He has certain timing on things. And He's preparing us in one way or another. But it is just so easy to compare and to look at somebody else. And God, we're God's special project at the moment. That helps me.
Before the workshop, I had said something to Jim about, you know, sometimes when you do something like this, then all of a sudden God tests you. You know, okay, you've been speaking on facing trials and tests. Okay, let's see how you do. And he said that he often, after he does something like that or speaks on that, that he has somebody pray for his protection. So I've asked Jerry if she would do that for me, if that's okay.
Lord, thank you for the things that Sandra has shared today to remind us that you will keep us in perfect peace if our minds are stayed on you. And Lord, we do not feel strong in ourselves, but we know that our strength is in you if we will turn to you. And Lord, we also know that when we go through difficulties and speak about them, that Satan is the first to want to discourage us. And he's not called the accuser of the brothers and the sisters in Scripture for no reason. And Lord, today we want to pray for Sandra. She's taken the time to prepare and to remind us of these things, to speak to us. And we want to, as a group now, to pray your protection upon her. Ask, O God, that you would not allow Satan to be able to get at her. But we pray that you would build a hedge of protection around her. And, Lord, that you would give her the peace that she needs to face anything in the future, whether it has to do with her body or some other thing. And, Lord, we thank you for her. Thank you for what her life has meant to us over these years. In her example, in Jesus' name, amen.